On the telephone line with us right now from Boston, Massachusetts, is one of the nation's most well-known critics of education as well as educators, Dr. Sam Blumenfeld, author of such books as Is Public Education Necessary? Another book entitled NEA, Trojan Horse in American Education. Dr. Blumenfeld is noted not only for criticizing current education, he also has written a number of books telling people how to educate children properly, including Alphaphonics, How to Tutor, and others. Dr. Blumenfeld, good evening. With us in the studio, we have Ken Dick, who is also a doctor. He, at one point in time, taught in public education. Currently, he's a well-known businessman from Omaha. Also, perhaps Nebraska's most well-known education activist, Bev Bennett from the Nebraska Coalition for Academic Excellence. Bev recently spent 2 days with two National Assessment of Educational Progress officials, a lawyer, and a parent concerned about psychological testing in Nebraska. We're going to ask Dr. Sam Blumenfeld to open with a 3 or 4 minute statement about our question for tonight, and that is outcomes-based education bad because the outcomes are improper, or is it faulty from the very beginning? Dr. Blumenfeld, your perspective.
Well, Marty, first let me just say how delightful I am to, or delighted to be with you and with your colleagues there. Concerning outcome-based education, the one thing you have to know about it is that it does away with every last vestige of traditional education as we've known it. So that all of these grandparents out there who think that public schools are no different than they were when they were going to school, the difference is so startling and so radical that I don't think they'd recognize it if they went into it. What has happened is that, you see, our education system was based on individualism. That is, it was based on the idea that the government school should provide children with basic skills, reading, writing, and arithmetic, and some basic knowledge about their history, about how their government works, about literature, etc. And then every individual would go out into the world with his or her knowledge and education and make his or her way. However, with outcome-based education, that's an entirely different story. They decide what you are going to do in the future. It's a collectivist form of education. In fact, if you read what the people in Kentucky are saying about it, what it does is it's preparing the young people for the new world socialist order. You know, for example, in Henderson, Kentucky, the superintendent complained. He said, quote, "We've got teachers who've been teaching 20 or 25 years, and then all of a sudden we say, let's do cooperative learning, peer tutoring, and the whole language approach, and use developmentally appropriate materials. It's overwhelming, and you get more resistance." This whole idea of cooperative learning means you learn in a group. You don't learn as an individual. You know, when I was going to school back in 1931, the desks were bolted to the floor, and they were lined up in rows, and the pupil's attention was directed to the teacher who taught the entire class, but you were not interested in what your peers were doing. As a matter of fact, if you were, that would have been considered out of line, and you could have been punished for that. However, in cooperative learning, it's the children working with each other, and the teacher becomes a facilitator, doesn't do much teaching, and so the students who are not too bright become very dependent on the bright kids because you know, they're in this group and they do things as a group, and so individualism is thrown by the wayside. Well, that's just one aspect of it. The most important aspect, of course, is the desire to change the values of the children. Because, you see, outcome-based education was created by behavioral scientists, by humanists. For example, Benjamin Bloom, who is really the godfather of outcome-based education says in his book, The Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Outcomes, says he was very concerned about the time element, because if you're going to change attitudes, you've got to do it as early as possible. And he said, the evidence points out convincingly to the fact that age is a factor operating against attempts to effect a complete or thoroughgoing reorganization of attitudes and values. The evidence collected thus far suggests that a single hour of classroom activity under certain conditions may bring about a major reorganization in cognitive as well as affective behaviors, you see. They're talking about reorganizing your attitudes and values. In other words, if a Christian child comes to a public school, his values have to be reorganized. And they mean a thoroughgoing reorganization. Now, that wasn't done when I was going to school. My teachers were not interested in reorganizing my values. They were simply interested in teaching me basic skills. They had assumed that the values I came to school with were quite okay and quite appropriate for me, that they had no interest in imposing their values on me or somebody else's values or the values of some other religion. And of course, as you know, Marty, humanism is a religion. It's not some kind of neutral philosophy. It's a very definite religious belief that can be found and that has been thoroughly exposed in the Humanist Manifestos 1 and 2, in which the humanists explain exactly how they think.
Dr. Blumenthal?
The prime enemy is the Christian way of thinking, and certainly the belief in God, which they are very much against. And so what OBE really is, if I wanted to sum it up, I would say that it is humanist parochial education, because that's what the outcomes are. The outcome is a humanist. They want to create a little humanist, just as a Christian. So the outcome of a Christian education is to create a believing Christian, well-educated, who can make his way in the world. Well, the outcome for the OBE is a humanist who can be an obedient member of the New World Order, an obedient participant in the New World Order. So, well, that sort of sums up a bit of it.
All right. Perhaps your comment on cooperative learning and her assertion that you're comparing apples and oranges.
Well, I mean, Kentucky has probably the most extensive outcome-based education program in the nation. It's held up as the model. And that's what they're using. I have their thick volume of outcomes, and
can I tell you something?
Their outcomes are not the kind of outcomes that I would. Yes, they have some good outcomes. You know, you've got to teach something. Nothing that they can do is going to be at all bad. But you have to look at the people who have made this thing, who have put it together. People like Benjamin Bloom and Ralph Tyler and others, and you have to look at their history and what they're trying to do by the taxonomy that Bloom put together years ago, where they talk of the cognitive domain and the affective domain, in which they deal with values and beliefs and attitudes. These were things which were not dealt with when I was going to school. And these are things which should be left up to the parents and to the churches. They ought not to be getting into the emotional and spiritual life of the children, but that's exactly what they're doing when they talk about attitudes. Now, it's interesting, because so many of the OBE people have gone on the defensive, that they're trying to give us the impression that, oh, it isn't as bad as we think it is, but then... And they try to pretend that everything that's been written by these gentlemen, that all of these people who've been involved in it, that somehow that's totally irrelevant. Well, it is not irrelevant, because you can judge the system by the people who have created it and what their goals was.
Dr.
Now it's quite possible for a Christian child to come out, somewhat unscathed, but highly unlikely, because if you're going to spend 12 years in a secular, very anti-Christian atmosphere, which is the case in so many public schools today, you're going to lose your religion. For many children do lose it. I'm not saying all of them, of course, not all of them, but many children.
Dr. Blumenfeld, you were offering people a free sample copy of your newsletter about the outcomes-based education in Kentucky. Can you give people a phone number to call if they'd like that free copy?
Yes, if any of your listeners would like to get a free sample copy of my newsletter, the Blumenfeld Education Letter, and if they'd like to get the April 1994 issue, which is entitled Kentucky's OBE Experiment, Conflict, Confusion, and Lower Scores, all they have to do is call my publisher, and his number is 1-208-322-4440. That's 1-208-322-4440. All I have to do is just call my publisher, and he'll be glad to send them a copy of this newsletter, and it will tell the listeners what is going on in Kentucky, because, as Bev says, all of this is coming down from the top. It's coming down from Washington. It's coming down from state capitals. These outcomes have already been determined. In Kentucky, they told us that the outcomes come directly from Bloom's taxonomy. This is not something that the local people are working on.
All right. Let's ask Dr. Sam Blumenfeld his opinion about the possibility of victory, bringing back traditional American values into public education via outcome-based education. Dr. Blumenfeld, are you optimistic in that regard?
Well, no, not as far as public education is concerned. I believe that it has been so thoroughly corrupted by psychologists, behaviorists, and humanists that it's impossible for Christians to actually get the kind of system that they could really live with. And that's why the homeschool movement is growing leaps and bounds. I understand that in Pennsylvania at the homeschool convention in Harrisburg, they had 6,000 people show up. That's 6,000. That seems incredible. But there's been so much criticism of OBE in Pennsylvania. The parents realize now that they have no choice, that if they want their children to have the kind of education they want, with the values they want, they're going to have to do it at home.
Dr. Blumenfeld, mention just briefly about the data collection. Part of the reason I want you to mention that is selfish. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock on Chat Time, I'm going to be talking about the national ID cards that the Postal Service and the IRS, I think the FDA and Social Service and President Clinton are all talking about one national ID card, and that kind of connects to the data collection on students. Talk about that.
Yeah, you see, we're no longer a free country. When the government is involved in collecting so much data about its citizens, a government that collects a dossier on each citizen is not that's a police state. That's not a free country. What is the government going to do with all that information? For example, the National Center for Education Statistics has set up an integrated elementary and secondary integrated data system in which they are going to collect personal information about every student, his sex, his race, family economic information, family social cultural information, physical health, sensory related conditions, psychological, mental, and proficiency testing results. You name it. I mean, they are going to have a complete dossier on every single student that gets into their hands.
The means of getting this dossier would be through assessment tests in many occasions. Is that true?
Yes, through tests, and also by getting your identification number, which I suppose will be the Social Security number. The minute you enter the government system, in other words, if you're homeschooling, you can keep your child off the computer. But if you're then required to take a state test, your child will probably then get on the computer.
Dr. Blumenfeld, we're just about out of time. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been a delight, and pretty stimulating, I think, for both people who disagree and agree with you. The phone number again for the free newsletter, and I'll wish you well in Boston.
Well, the phone number is 1-208-322-4440. That's 1-208-322-4440.
Thank you so much. You are one of the most lucid writers I have ever had the privilege to read. I appreciate your communications, both written and verbal. Thank you very much for being our guest
tonight. Thank you, Marty, very much.